direct, steady beat.
Compliments of the Planet Smashers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Great. Thank you guys for returning.
Yeah, we're back with our second episode of Scotto Day Nights. Are you just going to take the audio from this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just leave that. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. I can't wait until we have our designated place to do all these. It's going to be
great. Well, it'll be great.
It will be great. But we're here now, folks. You know, we appreciate the people who have checked out the first video, commented, you know.
Yeah.
I got some positive feedback saying, you know, thanks for doing this. We're going to, you know, it made people, like, listen to ska again.
I know.
As far as, like, you know. And I'm not being jokey. They said to me,
I saw
hey,
I pulled
something out again, listened to it. Well, I got some...
I got some direct
some other
messages.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It was like, you know, thanks for doing this show.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to see what bands we all like and, you know, and don't know. And I was like, hell yeah, man.
Well, they're definitely not going to know this one.
Exactly. Today, you know, right off the bat, our second episode... is about something very near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
That we lived through.
We survived.
Which is the ska band that I created called the Swanky Modes.
Whoa!
What
a unique name.
Totally.
Well, you got it
right off the top of my head.
Well, most people don't.
I know, I know. So, one of my favorite movies of all time is Tapeheads. I love this movie. It's from 1988. I've known it since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I covet it. I watch it. I can't believe it doesn't have a Blu-ray release.
That actually is a...
That kills me.
Surprising.
I wish somebody would pick it up. Kino Lorber, maybe, or somebody. Mm-hmm. Select. I don't know, but Tapeheads is an underrated gem to most people, but to me it's a perfectly rated gem. I love it. So anyway, the band in the movie,
which is not a ska band,
is not a ska band at all. The band name's the Swanky Modes.
And thus history.
But funny enough though, the score to that movie is by Fishbone.
Is it?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me with John Cusack.
And Fishbone are in the movie
yes.
as well. They
yeah.
have a small little they're in a bar. But so the Swanky Modes, and I just always like thought that name was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 95 I started this band and I said the Swanky Modes. We're gonna be the real Swanky Modes. and that's what it was. So you know, at this point in time, fully embracing and loving the music of ska.
Yeah.
Mighty Mighty Bosstones were a huge part of my life, you know.
Definitely a huge... I mean, would they be the biggest influence on the Swanky Modes?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Definitely. I would say yes in the beginning, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just became whatever the fuck the Swanky Modes were.
Right.
Like, you know, I think we were filthy ska punk or something like that, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? So, so 1995, I'm like, I dabble with the bass. I'm not a good bass player, but I can do it.
Self-taught.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just listen to music, you know. I mean, like, my Uncle John tried to teach me all this stuff, and
yeah.
I was just like, I'm going to do it my way, you know. Eventually, all but one string left my bass, because I felt the other strings were a hindrance. So I'm going up and down the bass, doing all the parts, when other people would be like, Why don't you just use another string? And then I'm like, nah. You know, and I would bloody up my hand, my fingers, playing this stupid shit. So it started with just me.
Yep.
Dave, we called Rasheem. We just call him Dave Rasheem. And Jesse Green's Uncle Dennis, who was a drummer. And we would go down and, you know.
How old was he? If you're like, what are you?
95, I am
18?
18, yeah. I was 18 at the time. Okay. He was probably like, geez, 23, 24. Okay,
so not that.
Maybe 25. Yeah, I don't know, yeah. Probably 25. But, you know, he always, Uncle Jesse and Sean's Uncle Dennis was always, they always were like, he thought what we were doing with the movies and making movies and all that stuff was always so funny and fun and, you know, he just was always supportive to whatever, you know, Jesse and his friends wanted to do and take part of. So I remember telling Dave and Jesse, like, I want to start this band. And he's like, well, my Uncle Dennis, he can play drums. And he'll let us go down in the basement, you know. So I was like, okay. So I talked with, you know, his Uncle Dennis, and we just started. And it was just like, really, the first incarnation of the Swanky Modes was us just doing parody songs of, like, punk songs.
It was really more of a punk band.
Yeah, but I knew that I wanted to do ska, but at that time I was like, how? Because I would do the offbeats with my bass.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a guitar player. I felt like, other than Emily Hardman, who I talked about in the first episode, who basically threw all the punk ska onto me in, like, 93. Other than her and Dave and Jesse, like, who would know ska? Right. You know what I mean? Right. So I was like, how am I ever going to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. From a small town.
Yeah, again, from a very small town. And so we would do... So I would just write these dumb... you know, silly parodies of just punk songs, Ramones, Misfits, shit like that. Mm-hmm. And we would do that. And then, like, a couple of songs, I would do the offbeat and we would turn it into, like, a, you know, a ska reggae type version of that song. And, you know, I was always telling Uncle Dennis that, you know, I want this to be a ska band eventually. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know, one, if I'm going to be able to play ska drum.
Yeah.
And two, if you're going to find other people.
Right.
Who will do this.
That's the thing. Yeah.
And, you know, I got to say, thinking back, quite honestly, I have no idea how we were able to pull it off and how it actually came about. Because the people that I was hanging out with,
not ska people.
Well, and they weren't musicians. I mean, we had one musician, really, which was Mike. And, you know, Mike Lannerman, who was really a part of the first wave of LBP and did so much stupid shit with me growing up in Wellsville. It's funny, like, the idea of him being a drummer barely came up in any sort of hanging out or...
Yeah.
But he was a drummer.
Okay.
He was a very good drummer.
Yeah.
You know, but he loved metal. And I like metal too, but I mean, he was a metal drummer. He was, you know, hard rock, metal. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what everybody was in Wellsville when there was a kid band.
Every single person is punk or rock.
I mean, this... In Wellsville, it was fucking metal. There were kids playing in metal bands. That's what it was.
Okay. Only in a lot of punk bands.
So...
A little bit more metropolitan.
I'm not quite sure how I convinced Mike to be in a ska band. I mean, Mike did like punk, and he definitely... He was right there with us listening to Rancid and everything.
Mike
definitely knew what ska was, but it wasn't something that he was
passionate.
It wasn't like me and Emily.
Right.
So I'm not sure how Mike got involved. And we had our original guitar player could barely play guitar.
Who's that?
Again, he was just one of my buddies.
Oh.
And again, his name was Eric Bellows. But did he know Eric Scott? Was also a part of LBP. Eric had no idea what the fuck Scott was.
I mean, could he play Scott?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was... Even when we were a ska band,
yeah.
It was still me doing the offbeats.
Yeah. Until you got Pete?
No, until we got that Alex kid.
Okay.
You knew that. Eric.
Yeah, I did.
I
forgot he was...
But Eric was he grew up... He was one of my friends growing up. And he had, like, a... rudimentary skill in playing guitar. So we were like, well, you're in.
Yeah.
You know? Shit, man. So I don't know if you can even remember, but I don't know how we got from Uncle Dennis's basement to Jake Myers' basement.
And Jake Myers doesn't do anything, right?
No, remember, it was his brother.
Yeah.
Who was the trombone player.
Whew. Yeah, you're right.
And then we had fucking Jadwin play the trumpet.
Yep. I mean, this is high school times.
This is high school,
so it's
yeah.
like people who just are in a band or whatever it is. I guess band.
Yeah, but I was at the tail end. I was like...
You are.
Leaving high school.
But not all
Everybody else was still there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're high school band geeks who wanted to play music, I guess, in a band.
Well, I think ultimately when the Swanky Modes happened, that's what it was. It was like, well, we aren't doing anything else
yeah.
with this talent that we have.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, let's join a band and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, quite honestly, I think we did better than most, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
as far as high school... Or garage bands, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it. You took it to heights that most would... I mean, really, but most people would never have done the things that you did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I would say in 96 is when the ska part started really, like, coming into it.
When did you switch Dave for Emily?
Again...
You know,
I have no idea, because our first...
We need Emily on this show.
Our first show...
We do need Emily on the show.
I would love to get a hold of Emily.
Just to talk about it.
We should try.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And just to her history with Scott.
That's what
well.
I mean, yeah.
Our first show was in 1996.
At the high school? My high school or your high school?
Casey's high school. So, when Casey joined the band...
I don't play any instruments.
Yeah, much like a lot of people who were in the band. he didn't play an instrument.
Yeah.
But we put, like, whatever horn we had into his hands, and he would just kind of play along with some of the songs
yeah.
as best he could.
Yeah.
Until we were like, you know what, why don't you be the Ben Carr
yeah.
of the Swanky Mode? So he just became our dancer.
Just the dancer, man.
Total ripoff of the Mighty Mighty Boston. But
you don't see a lot of other bands doing that.
No. So I guess we just, in 95, you know, it slowly became the ska thing, and we were practicing in Jake Myers' basement.
Yeah. So, okay, so what's the group?
The lineup.
Yeah,
the lineup was... So when it really became
okay.
the ska band,
yeah.
I would probably say that was January of 1996.
And who's in it?
You...
Yeah.
Me
on bass,
Michael on drums,
yep.
Eric on guitar,
yep.
Jadwin on trumpet.
Okay.
Emily
singing.
No, still Dave. It was still Dave.
And Jake's brother.
Dave singing. Jake's brother. I wish I could remember his fucking name. I'm sorry, Jake's brother.
Julio.
But Jake was on trombone. And Emily, my girlfriend, Emily Burr.
Saxophone.
Was on saxophone.
Okay.
And she was probably the best
player. I was going to say, she was like talented.
She was really, she played a mean saxophone. She was on tenor sax. And that was like the actual, that was the ska lineup when we first started doing ska. And that, and our first gig, which we should not have had.
How did you get?
I would assume from you.
Yeah.
You know, because we played your high school.
Yeah.
And I don't know what made us think we could go out and play at that high school.
But because it's a high, because the high school.
I know, but the bands, I probably would say 100% the bands playing with us were way better than we were.
Well, I'm sure.
I can't imagine going out there playing the songs that we had in the shape that we had them.
Yeah.
But I'll remember this. That all of those fucking kids were dancing.
Yeah.
At the high school.
I do remember that.
I couldn't believe it. Because up there, I knew we sucked. I was like, this is terrible. Eric can barely play, you know.
Yeah, we were playing to a bunch of teenagers. And at that time, ska is...
It must have been crazy.
Big.
For, well, was it 96?
Yes.
That early in 96, you think?
I would think so.
I guess.
I think it would probably just maybe. Be ramping up. Because, like, Real maybe. Big Fish had come out at that point.
I don't know.
And that started getting bigger.
I don't know. Because I felt like at this point, we still didn't reach that, like...
Apex.
That, oh my God, ska is everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I remember when that happened, and I had a twofold... reaction to it. One was yes,
yeah,
and one was oh no,
yeah.
You know, I felt like no, the music that we've been listening to for years now,
yeah,
is now gonna be like out there and people are gonna, you know, take it. And
which we'll do an episode about selling out.
And it's not even really selling out.
It's not really, but
it's just it turned into something that
yeah
I don't know. But I felt so, like, excited for the bands and the music.
Yeah.
That there was a lot of joy there.
Yeah.
But so this is still, I don't know. For me, so this was still, like, when Time Bomb is big and on the radio and shit like that. And so ska is building. It's not quite the apex yet. We weren't seeing... Scotter days on MTV, you know, shit like that.
We're not, but so that the other thing is, which we didn't talk about in the first episode, but we had so St. Bonaventure University, which is really known for its basketball team in college basketball, they had a really, really kick-ass radio station. It was the number 4 college radio station in the nation. And they would play awesome music. Awesome, awesome music. And they eventually got to like a whole like ska section. But early on, you would hear a lot of ska songs on that radio station at different times. Usually like late at night, like on a Thursday or something. But, you know, so like the college kids were probably listening to ska.
Yeah.
Like, you and I only were listening to ska, whereas everyone else is listening to Dave Matthews and, you know,
yeah,
Metallica or whatever.
No, I still listen to Metallica.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, at that time.
I get it. Yeah.
So, okay, so you're playing at Olean High School.
Yeah, and we had no business doing that. Yeah. And I wish I would be showing you that footage right now if we still had it.
Yeah.
Remember we took it to Grandma and Grandpa's?
Yeah.
And they were like, this is so cute.
Yeah, our grandparents thought everything. Like, we're, like, murdering people in these videos. It's adorable. Well, you guys, you know, just as a refresher, because this is podcast as well as video, And people who are just coming onto the channel for ska only, we're cousins. We've known each other our whole lives. And, you know, Chris, you know, has Low Budget Pictures, Warlock Home Video, which is low budget horror comedy movies for the last 30 years. Yeah. So just as a refresher there. So yeah. Okay. So what would we do after that then? I remember you playing it. Wellsville, though.
We played Wellsville, yeah. We would play Wellsville. Again, I mean, people not knowing what the fuck we were.
Right.
What is this music? Because, I mean, we would play, like, there'd be, like, bands at the park that would play, and we would play, we would be a part of the lineup. Yeah. There were Battle of the Bands. There was just regular, like, you know, concerts in the gym and shit like that.
I remember...
We even played the elementary school. But...
You toned down.
I mean, you were there.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I think you were there.
No.
It wasn't for elementary kids.
Right.
They had a much bigger stage.
Okay.
So we were able to have a concert there.
Oh, well, maybe that's the thing I'm thinking of. The
show. What you thinking of?
Well, I'm also thinking of a show that you played in, well, you know, Olean-ish, you know, where it was like, we thought everyone was, like, going to get attacked. Because there was, like, a bunch of, like, scummy, crappy people who were, like, just jerks. And it was not the crowd. It was just not the type of crowd. They didn't end up doing anything, but it was, like, a real, like, oh, man.
Was it outside?
Like, no. It was inside of, like, a garage or, like, someone's house. It was a real gross-ass, typical Southern Tier, like, location.
We played there?
Yes. Because I remember it was, like... Other of my punk friends.
Well, remember like, we played at like a lodge, like an Elks Lodge or like a.
Yeah.
It was like a. Was that. Is that what you're talking
about? Maybe that's
what I Because there was a bunch of like.
Yeah, maybe that's the. Yeah, maybe that's the place I was thinking of. Like, where we're from is guys like. It's like Chris says all the time, it's stuck in the 80s. And the people are big hunter, fisher people,
yeah, just,
country people.
Rednecky,
yeah.
Hickey people, and they that's where...
How do we come out of that? I don't know, but yeah, that's...
Well, Olean was like a burgeoning city compared to fucking
it is,
Wellsville.
It is, and Friendship, where our family is from, which is like one road.
Friendship
literally
is even
one
smaller
road
than Wellsville.
And, you know, some places off that, so... How we got into ska and all that, you know,
well,
your family.
We talked about it.
Okay, so when do you remember...
It's funny, because we really played, like, all over the place.
Everywhere.
Like, anywhere we could.
Do you remember when you got...
So...
Like, a real show. Like, a real gig with real bands.
So, I think after the show that we played in Olean, I was really, like...
We gotta get our shit together, guys.
Yeah, I felt like, okay, that was great, but we weren't that good.
Right.
We need...
Emily.
I wish I could remember how it all went down, because we didn't get a proper guitar player. Shit. You know, like... Because we didn't... Even when we went to record... We still didn't have a proper guitar player because the guitar player who was at the studio ended up being our guitar player for the studio tracks that we did.
Do you remember what that was like? Because I was there.
I do. It was amazing. I'm trying to figure out where it became the solid group. You know what I mean? Like, we had so many members go through that thing.
Yeah.
The only ones that stuck, I would say, were me and Mike, Emily.
Yeah.
Emily and Emily. And then this kid, Eric Morgan,
mm-hmm.
who ended up being our solid trombone player.
Yep.
And then we got, like, Max Oglesby, who was alto sax, who was
too good for
fucking
the band.
Amazing.
Too good for the band.
But he was hilarious, and he loved it.
Yeah.
And Emily's brother joined as well.
Mm-hmm.
and Emily's brother ended up taking the place of Brad Jadwin and doing trumpet.
Yeah.
And Emily's brother was actually better on the trumpet than Jadwin was. I think pretty much after that Only Ann show, we just scrapped everybody other than Mike and Emily and me.
Yeah. Yep.
And we brought in a whole new regime, and that's probably
good people.
Me asking Emily, hey, would you be our singer? And she probably saying, I can't sing. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. All you got to do is like yell. Like, it's, you know, we're a punk band, we're a ska punk band. You just yell. And it was probably through her that we, you know, started talking to band people, band geeks, you know, marching band people, and, and that's I would assume how we got everybody else. Emily knew people. Emily Burr, who was the saxophone player, my girlfriend at the time, she knew people. So, I mean, it was, they probably handled all the horn people and how we got the horn people. But yeah, we just couldn't find a guitar player who could play ska or even knew what the fuck it was. And and I was writing songs that were ridiculous. I felt like I can't really do anything serious. You know, I'm making these silly comedy horror movies with dumb plots and terrible writing, silly writing. And I felt like, well, if I'm going to start a band, then it's going to be the same thing. It's just going to be about dumb, silly things, gross things. And that's what it's going to be. And that's what it was when Dave was singing.
Yeah.
Well, screaming.
Yeah.
I wrote these dumb songs like My Balls Are Itching.
Poke Me in the Eye.
Poke Me. Well, it was.
I know.
Poke Me in the Butt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it became Poke Me in the Eye.
Yeah.
Because of whiny bullshit reasons. But yeah, it was Poke Me in the Butt. I had a song called Frothed Unit Spillage.
Yep. But you had a big hit.
Well, oh, yeah. We had Entrails of a Virgin.
Yeah.
We had What the Color Green Means to Me, which, it's a terrible, stupid song. It was only written because my girlfriend was like, I like the color green. Will you write a song about green? And I was like, okay. I'll write the dumbest song about the color green I can. So we did. Jeez, what else back then? I'm trying to think before, like, the other songs came. The first stuff we were doing. And it was, Yeast Infection.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. I
dumb shit. I mean, it was just dumb shit.
Yeah.
Right? But, so at some point, we were like, you know, the best songs out of this group are Transsexual Nazi Eskimo, Entrails of a Virgin, and What the Color Green Means to Me.
Yep.
So we were like, let's record these. Let's make a demo tape.
Yeah.
And we put together, you know, some money. There was a couple local studios in around Wellsville, because there was some like professional playing bands in Wellsville who were far older than we were, and they were playing like rock, you know, rock or hard rock. And one of those guys ran the record store in Wellsville, the Music Alley.
Oh, okay.
And he had all these connections to people who had studio stuff. He did too, but, you know, he recommended this one studio for us. And I don't know, it probably ended up being like $250 or something at the time.
Yeah.
For us to
I
do.
I think it costs more when you got, didn't you get a CD or?
We recorded a second time, but It was a bad recording.
Right.
It was a very bad recording. We ended up doing like 4-track stuff.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out right. So the only actual studio. Oh no. You're right. Shit. We went in the studio twice.
Yeah. I thought one was like, you got a CD and it was like $400.
Maybe.
I remember, I mean, because, again, this is 90s. Guys, it was like, whoa, this is a lot of money.
I'm trying to think about this. Yeah. I'm sorry if this is all over the place and rambling and bobbling and shit like that, but I'm...
You're keeping it semi...
I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to do, is keep it, you know. So, yeah, we go out to, you know, a little past Wellsville to this little studio, and it was, to me, and I would assume to the gang, it was like, oh my God, like, we've made it.
Yeah.
You know, we've only been a band for, you know...
6 months.
Yeah, maybe... I'm not even counting
the pre-band,
the 95 pre-band, but I mean, like, when we became a ska band, had only been a ska band for like 6 months.
Yep.
You know, Sublime was just coming, hitting the radio with fucking Santeria and
that,
you know,
album. The last one.
And fucking, you know, Time Bomb had been out. So it's like, we're going into the studio with a couple of people who really didn't know how to record ska.
Yeah.
We were like, hey, we're a ska band from Wellsville. You know, I actually remember the session guitar player who was at the studio saying...
Did he play ska?
Well, he was like, so you mean like, you know, kind of like Fishbone or Sublime? And I'm yes.
Okay.
Like, can you do that?
Well, he
and he did his best. He did his best because he couldn't keep up with the how fast we wanted the songs to be.
No shit, yeah.
I think the best he plays is on Transsexual Nazi Eskimo.
The reason.
We went there and we shot, and we recorded these three songs.
What was that tape? Like, did it have...
It was just our demo tape. It was just a normal...
It didn't have, like, a name to it.
No, it was just the Swanky Mode. Gotcha. Know. Three song demo.
Okay.
Where
did that tape go?
I'll put
go?
Up the picture, but it's just the plaid.
Yeah.
And I had this dude. I used to draw comics as well, and we did a movie in the early 90s called Bloody Bobby, and I did a comic book off of Bloody Bobby, and Bloody Bobby actually was from 93, which was the first time I put ska music in my movies. It was in 93 for Bloody Bobby. Anyway, so I just took Bloody Bobby's head and I drew like a, you know, ska thing where he was going to be our mascot, basically. And his mouth was censored because I knew we were filthy ska. We were singing about shit that nobody was fucking singing about at all. So he was censored and he became our mascot, and I designed the logo. So I'm, you know, I used to do a lot of art. I used to draw a lot. So that was the cover. That was it. It was just the Swanky Modes, you know, three songs. And
get it while it's hot.
So basically what we did, we took that master and we just duped a shit ton of tapes.
Yep.
And we would go, you know, at that point I was already out of school. I was done with school.
Yeah.
So, everybody else would sort of pass the tapes around or try to sell them for like $3 or whatever it was. And we started to get just gigs around Wellsville.
Yeah.
Doing little parties, Battle of the Bands, shit like that.
Yeah.
The big Battle of the Bands, we ended up coming in third. We came in third, I think.
Okay.
And the band that came in first, I can't remember the band name, but the guitar player and singer of that band, his name was Alex, and he ended up, after that Battle of the Bands, because we played, we played with this band. I wish I could remember the fucking name of the band, but they were not ska at all. They were more like a hippie, you know, bunch of fucking 18-year-olds playing hippie music.
Fish.
But we would end up playing with them
at
these other gigs around Wellsville, but they were from like Angelica or something like that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Alex was really talented. And he was the guitar player and singer of that other band. And he could play ska. The offbeats. He could play ska beautifully. Shit. You know what, guys? Totally wrong. Totally wrong. He didn't come until a little later.
Wow. It's a blast from the past.
This is, guys, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So, this is so shitty. This, you're probably going to have to edit this. I'm going to have to edit this. I don't know how we're going to... Guys, bear with me, please.
I'm taking your audio when it's published and then doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Shit. Wow. It's so interesting how I can remember so many details about my childhood.
Yeah.
About the movies I've seen, about all the weird shit I've done, but this band thing I can't keep straight. And it's probably because we had so many fucking people come through.
Yeah.
So there was this dude, after we had the tape, there was this dude who was a friend of Emily's. Emily Hardman, our singer.
Yep.
We had two girl singers, Emily Hardman and Demetra Messaloras. Both people I went to high school with. Emily was the ska kid. Demetra was like the artsy, crazy girl. Very funny. They both also did some stuff movie-wise with me. But, again, Emily was so dripping in the ska punk scene that she knew a lot of people. There was this other dude who one day we ended up always practicing at Mike's house.
Yeah.
That became our the spot where we would practice. It was Mike's house. Mike Landerman, our drummer. And so we would drive out to Mike's house and we would all practice. We would practice on the weekends. Crazy. Crazy. And Emily brought this dude. I can't remember his name, and he played with us like 3 or 4 times. I can't fucking remember his name. He was this really tall, lanky mofo.
Guitar.
And he played guitar.
Yeah.
And he could do the ska. And I remember it was in this practice.
Yeah.
And at the time, I kept calling the sound of it Dink Dinks. I would tell everybody, man, we need somebody who can do the Dink Dinks. You know?
Yeah.
Didn't matter if it was offbeats or, the sound that made ska.
Yeah.
Ska. It was the Dink Dinks to me. Dink, dink, dink.
Yeah.
I
remember that.
So we're practicing, and this dude comes in, and Emily's like, I want you to, listen to him. And he could fucking do it.
Yeah.
So other than this dude who, did the session stuff with us.
Yeah.
This guy was actually really playing, ska guitar.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. I was like, oh my God. Because I was like, we're finally going to sound like we're supposed to sound.
Right.
And so I remember that practice being very awesome and important because it was the first time that with the drums, with everything, it was like,
you're like, oh, this is an actual ska.
It was like, holy shit, we're a ska band. And it all came into place.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I feel so bad.
Yeah.
Well, he was from Buffalo. I want to say.
Yeah.
So he would drive in, just to hang out with
Emily
or whatever it was, or go to a concert, or if we were going to meet him up somewhere.
Yeah.
So he ended up being basically our, our practice guitar player, and then we got a couple of gigs in the Wellsville High School.
Mm-hmm.
And he was that guy. He was our guitar player then.
Yeah.
And then the very first... Shit. So already at this point, you, me, Emily, and some of the other people had already started going to ska shows. Mm-hmm. We had already seen the Planet Smashers.
Yep.
At this point, we already had, we'd seen some bands. We were like,
We saw Boston.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We were already into the scene. Well, yeah. I saw the Boston with Weezer.
No, I know you saw in 1993. Before, yeah.
But we all had seen these bands. And yeah. we had already been going to concerts and all that stuff. And so during this time, from like, you know, end of 95 through 96, mm-hmm. I was becoming friendly with some of these bands. And I was sending the movies, right? I was sending my stuff to these bands, mm-hmm. and I started to send the three
yeah.
song demo tape to a bunch of bands.
What are those bands probably like?
I don't know.
I mean, the quality of the bands compared to like the Swanky Modes.
I know.
Maybe they were just like, you know what? That was us. You know, when we
we started. In that notebook, there's a bunch of letters from studios.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Including Mike Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Mike Park, I ended up talking on the phone with several times because he was very open. Now, Mike Park...
Asian Man Records.
But before that, he had Dill Records. So yeah. when I was talking to him on the phone, it was still Dill Records.
Yeah.
But he was in the Skink and Pickle.
Yep.
And I would just call these fucking people.
Well, this is at a time when you could, though. When you could just... You could find people's phone numbers or the phone numbers of the businesses. They were on there.
And, you know, these people in the bands are the people who started the companies. Yeah. You know? So they would just... pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And Mike Park was one of two people who constantly always took my phone calls and always talked to me.
Yeah.
The second was Matt Collier from the Planet Smashers. And at this point, we had seen the Planet Smashers live, and we had been sort of gaga for the Planet Smashers.
Band at that time.
Definitely.
Once we heard the Planet Smashers, that it was game over.
And so I would always send those guys my movies and the tape and everything. And so Matt would always say, if we're playing around you guys, get on the bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Play with us on the bill. Yeah. And I was like, come on. You know, like, you gotta be kidding me. But sure enough, Matt... started putting us on those bills. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, the very first show we ever played with the Planet Smashers, it was this guitar player.
Is this the very first show played... Where is it at?
Buffalo.
Okay.
I can't remember where.
Okay. So...
I cannot remember
But that's
where.
The first time you played with a band.
That was the first time we played with an actual, like, holy shit.
Like, we're a...
This is the Planet Smashers.
Yeah.
You know, and to and listen, the Planet Smashers were very young at that time. They were, you know, they came.
Well,
they started in 94.
No, I know, but I'm saying like they are not that much older than us. So it's
no.
Be
I'm
like,
saying like their first.
You're saying as a band, they're really young.
Yeah, the first. Yeah,
true.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
the band was very young, but in the Buffalo area, and to certainly me, Casey, and like Emily. The Planet Smashers were gods.
Well, so here's the other thing, guys. Geographically speaking, we're not that far from... Where we are right now in Rochester, we're an hour from Buffalo. Buffalo is only minutes away from Canada, and there's 102.5 the... Or, sorry, 104.1 the Edge, the Canadian Edge, which is Toronto's big music station. And if you get to Buffalo, you can hear that station.
Well, the Planet Smashers are a Canadian ska band.
Yep.
And so they played.
But they would play back and forth.
Yeah, they played a lot in America.
Yeah.
So, somehow we got on that bill. And that was like the first big, like, holy shit, we're playing with the Planet Smashers. You know, and during all this time, and so this dude, this guitar player, played
this random man.
I wish I could fucking remember his name. So he, you know, I think probably to him also, it was like, wow, I just come in to like help this band out, and then suddenly I'm playing with the Planet Smashers and playing these random shows.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
You know? Yeah. But, and then he disappeared. And then I can't remember what happened after that. And then it went to Alex. We were playing these shows in Wellsville. We struck up a relationship with Alex. We saw that he could actually play the guitar and play it well, and he did ska beautifully. And we said, you know, we don't have a guitar player for our Battle of the Bands. So at the Battle of the Bands, not only was he playing for his band, but he switched over and played for our band as well. Cool. And so he would practice with us. And he ended up becoming our guitar player for quite some time.
Yeah. Gotta get that guy out.
And he was great. And he was really great. Yeah. And then when we got Alex is when we really started to write a whole bunch of more music. And again, it was always me. I wrote all the music. I wrote all the musical parts and all the lyrics. And what I would do is I would play all of the parts on my bass, including the horn parts. Mm-hmm. What I wanted. The only one, obviously, I didn't write was I let Mike
do the drums.
Because
no one knows how to actually write
drums. I don't know that.
No one does.
You know, Mike just did what he did, and that's how it became the song, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is I would do the guitar parts for the guitar player, and I'd play him, this is what I want the guitar to do.
Yeah.
And I would play the horn part, or I'd hum it to them. Emily was always the go-to person to relay that stuff, because she... I could hum it or play it, and then suddenly she could fucking play it on her saxophone and then relay it with the other horn players, and then they would come up with a...
arrangement.
Yeah, they would do the arrangement and the harmonies on the horns and everything. And I would write these gross lyrics. There was one song that we all wrote together, and that was... Santa Claus Stole My Breakfast Sausage.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in the interim, I would write all these songs, and we would practice all the time. We wrote this Santa Claus, you know, and that's when I was writing Peter North Lost His Sasquatch and Mindy and Droopy the Foreskin.
Good one. How did you do it?
Yeah, so for a while, we had a really solid little lineup. You know what I mean? And our guitar player stayed our guitar player until he was just like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. His band was Quagmire. That was the name.
I remember that now.
Quagmire. Long before Family Guy.
The
name Quagmire. Right. No, so his band name was Quagmire.
Right.
And so Alex was like, listen, I can't keep doing this. And to be honest, we were playing far more than he and Quagmire were.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he was, I think maybe just ska just wasn't his music, you know, regardless if he could play it well or not, which he could. But so Alex was on that second recording. The second professional recording with
us. Gotcha.
Where we redid, which we shouldn't have, where we redid the three songs we did for the tape, but also recorded all the new songs.
Yep.
And that was for our full length, which was called If the Yak Breaks Wind. we had Let's Break Wind, which was also a song.
Yep.
We had Blue Eyed Yak.
Yeah, hopefully can you play some of that?
I definitely will be playing some swanky modes for you guys, showing some footage. Definitely. So, yeah, so we had that now. So we had a full length now. Still no CD. We didn't do the CD thing until at the end of basically when the Swinky Modes were about to shut down. So it was still tapes.
Yeah. I would have had that tapes on there.
But during this time, we were literally playing anywhere and everywhere we could. We were
with some real bands.
With some real bands. We ended up playing with Mustard Plug and,
yep.
and shit. I mean, who
Toasters.
Knows? Toasters. I have so many. We ended up playing a lot. And we ended up playing a lot of, like, ska fests or ska shows
mm-hmm.
specifically, not just, like, random, like, bands here and there. And we would set up shows. And Emily would set up shows. And so we would go to Corning or Ithaca. Yep. We would, you know, we lived in Wellsville at the time, so we would go to Rochester.
Yeah.
We would go to Rochester, we'd go to Buffalo. Yeah. That was a lot for us. That was crazy for us. Yeah, we played the Haunt. Up here in Rochester, we had the Vertex, but we also had
Water Street Music Hall.
Water Street Music Hall.
Yep.
And we had the Penny Arcade.
Yep.
And we played those. So during this time, we were befriending a lot of local to Buffalo, to Rochester, to Syracuse, a lot of these ska bands that were also playing in those areas.
Yep.
So we were coming from this like know-nothing town as a ska band into what already was a scene in Rochester, Buffalo, and Syracuse. It was crazy. It was crazy. So we were making friends with these bands because we would end up playing with these bands. And one of them was The Professionals. And The Professionals was a Rochester ska band, which were, they were very good. They were like...
They're the best in this area.
Yeah, they were just so musically, like, ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
And they were doing more, like, two-tone type ska. They weren't doing... The straight up punk ska stuff.
Yeah. I still have that album on.
I mean, it's classic.
It's on my phone.
So we ended up playing with The Professionals a lot and striking up somewhat of a relationship with these guys. Mostly Brian, the keyboardist, and Pete, the guitar player. And eventually, Emily, our singer, ended up dating Pete, the guitar player from The Professionals. Anyway, so it kind of was serendipitous because when Alex left the band, now we had Pete of The Professionals. We always called Professional Pete. And it was just a, hey, Emily, do you think Pete would would also play in the Swanky Modes type thing? And luckily, a lot of those members of The Professionals liked the Swanky Modes as well and supported us.
Did you have the... keyboarder, the organ guy, keyboardist play?
Brian? He never played with us, but he liked us.
Okay.
And so did the drummer,
okay.
Nathan. Nate. He also really liked the Swanky Modes.
Yeah. You got on the radio.
We did get on the radio. So
in here in Rochester.
So we ended up, once again, sort of but Pete became the guitar player for us while still being the guitar player for The Professionals. And what ended up being great was we would always do all these shows with The Professionals, so we knew, you know, well, Pete's going to be there. So, and then Pete, you know, he was with Emily. So it was like, Pete's not going anywhere.
It's family.
We got Pete, and we got to practice. Great. Pete's going to be there, you know, so.
Yeah.
And Pete was also a fantabulous ska guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete loved ska, you know? And so we just kept playing more and more shows, playing with more and more bands that we really loved.
Money?
Yeah. We were making zero money. There was no money in this.
Like, no one was like, hey, play at my, you know, like, I'll give you a cut of the cover.
It was always, at the door. We would always end up paying just gas money. You know what I mean? Like, they would give us gas money and that's what it was.
That's so crazy.
And I know that it bothered
Mike.
It bothered Mike.
I remember that.
It did bother Mike, but for me, I was like, I don't fucking care. I was like, we are out here and we have a band. We're playing music.
Right.
We're playing with bands we love, and there's an audience. Right. You know, this is like insane.
Yeah, I know.
So I never had any illusion that we were going to make any money. Like my films. I haven't made any money. You know what I mean? Like, you don't make any money, man. So you really got to want to do it. And we just did it. And we did it fast and furious until we didn't. You know what I mean? We did so much in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you take the first part of the Swinky Modes out of it, you know, then it's fucking 2 years of just nonstop doing stuff.
I would say nonstop is, I mean, same thing with LVP, but it's...
We did. I was still making movies.
Yep.
But I was also doing these fucking concert tours, you know, these small little like, hey, we're going, you know, we're hitting these markets during the weekend. Or it was never like a long tour, but it was always like back to back. We got weekend shows, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you remember? What do you remember mostly? I'm sitting here discombobulating this fucking history for people.
I mean,
I'm sure they've already tuned out, but.
Here's the thing, we don't know, because it's the internet, right? We don't know, who knows? Someone from Rochester, someone from Geneseo could have seen you guys. I remember it being like, it's big, you know what I mean? Like when I think you told me about the radio, or I heard it on the radio, or something like that, and it's like, we don't always think about it because we're in it. But if you were to, like, go back and just look at it from an outsider's point of view, the things that we've done sometimes, it's, like, insanity. Like, you're from a small-ass hick town, and you played more shows than most anyone can say from these small towns. You know what I mean? Like, you got on the radio. How many other friends who were in bands could say they did that? Or got to play with some of our favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I will never not like the Toasters forever. And to say, oh, I've met Bucket. Well, now I've met Bucket multiple times. But you know what I mean? Like, you got to play. Got to dance on stage. Mustard Plug. Planet Smashers.
It was insane. It definitely was weird.
Do you remember that show? And I don't remember if we saw this or if I'm part of the modes where the floor came in.
That was...
Did we play that show or did we see that show?
That was our first time seeing the Planet Smashers.
Okay. Well, never mind. Planet Smashers get their own episodes.
Yeah, they will.
So, anyway, I just remember... I remember The Haunt very clearly, that show. That was with the Toasters.
So, and Casey did... So, Casey, he wasn't...
I mean, I wasn't there for
every show.
No.
But he was there for a lot.
As your photographic evidence shows.
Yeah, and again, he would dance.
In romance.
He would, I guess, sing out the chorus
probably,
with everybody.
Yeah.
A
hype man.
You were there, man.
Yeah.
You were in those days, brother. You were,
I know.
You were the no-budget Ben Carr.
Yeah, again, I think it was like... It was just one of those really weird things because it's like, oh, we're making movies and nobody else that I know is doing this. And, oh, we're in a band and nobody else I know is doing it. So it's,
come here.
And this kid.
Get behind here. Let me ask you a question real quick before you go.
We've got a special guest on the show.
This is my son, River. What do you think of the Swanky Modes?
It's cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you heard the Swanky Modes? Okay. Is it weird that your dad was in a ska band that toured around?
No.
Or I guess what you know about your dad, it's probably not. It's probably the least weird thing that he's done.
I've heard some songs, like Transsexual Nazi Eskimo.
You like that song?
Drooping McForeskin.
Yeah.
You dig that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. That's me. That's your old man. There the guy go. Who made Scrotal Vengeance.
And you.
And you.
All right, you can go.
You going to hang?
Yeah.
He's going to shred.
It's nice seeing you, Rev.
He's a skateboarder. He's going to gleam the cube.
Bye, bro.
Anyway, that was unnecessary, but...
Well, you could cover.
Yeah.
No, it was... It's just, it's a surreal feeling when you think about it. And we don't... I mean, you're having a hard time even remembering all this shit right now. It's like...
Because...
When I think about it, I'm like, man.
Because I think we did so much in so such a little time.
You mean in 30 years?
I'm talking about the swanky
No, moments. I know, but we've lived an entire lifetime in these 30
years. It really is like... It's yeah. interesting that when... So we ended the Swanky Modes in 1998. Well, I ended it. I am the one who ended the band.
Yeah.
Because Why? Well, it became very apparent that nobody wanted to be in the band.
Yeah, I remember Mike and maybe you got into a fight or something. Not like they a just, fist of cuffs, but like a, like, fuck this. Like
Yeah, I think... One, you know, with Mike, it probably was a money thing, but I think for everyone else, it would just became, listen, we're not, this isn't what we want to do with our lives.
Yeah.
We don't particularly love ska, you know?
Right.
Like the horn players, they were horn players.
They weren't ska,
you know?
Yeah, you're right.
They were great.
No one
but
really
But Max, who was
ska.
The alto sax player,
yeah.
he is a fucking musician.
Yeah.
He is a... getting paid musician out there.
Yeah.
Because he's fucking good, but he's not playing ska.
Right.
I mean, these kids, this wasn't their dream.
Right.
You know, and it really wasn't mine either, because I was always, like, movies before music. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
It was just, hey, I can happen to do this, too. I tried doing comic books, making movies, and have a band, mm-hmm. you know? And so it was just like, the last show was our second show at The Haunt.
Yep.
And we knew it was our last show. And we were playing with Mustard Plug. And
yep.
we were playing with the Planet Smashers.
Yeah, I remember this.
And yep. You were there. Jesse
yep.
was there.
Yep. It was a great show.
It was a great show. It was actually, regardless of it being our last, it was probably one of our best.
Oh, for sure.
The energy was really great.
Yep.
The crowd was great.
Yep.
The Planet Smashers kept shouting us out.
Yep.
It was good. So I think we went out on a high note. And it's funny that after that, there was never any other band anything. I never pursued...
Not in a band.
Getting in a band.
I mean, you just still played some music.
I still did music, and we still did like these silly... I mean, the Berserkers, I did a lot of the ska music for the Berserkers we did, and... Mm-hmm. You know, silly shit like that, but
yeah.
nothing where we were going to get together and we were going to make music and shit like that. It just sort of went away.
May still come back. The Warriors of Christmas.
And we just went right, you know, continued making movies, you mm-hmm. know, all of us. And then people from that brood ended up doing little parts in the movies, you know? Remember even
yeah.
Pete is in Anal Paprika
yep.
2, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, so 98 was the end. But I remember, like, we would play all sorts of shit. Scalloweens we would do. Oh, the infamous Scalloween where you fucking your whole intestines.
Yeah, we played in Alfred.
Alfred, yeah, it was Alfred College Scalloween.
Scalloween, Slackers.
And
I don't remember the other band.
Well, that was a different Scalloween. I, for the life of me, I've been trying to remember who the fuck played the first Scalloween with us. There was like five bands. There was five bands.
Okay.
And I'm trying, I know the Professionals was one of them, but
yep.
there was three other bands.
Blackouts,
that
maybe?
Maybe, I guess? I don't know.
So we had a green room. We had an actual green room, which
yeah, people,
I don't think that ever happened.
We had a green room
before.
and a spread of food for
yes.
the bands. It was like,
I think that was the only time I've ever
It definitely was the only time.
Yeah. Anyway, so I ate some bad mayonnaise.
And
I ended up like having to
and
run
like,
off
you're,
stage.
You're skanking on stage, you
yeah.
know, giving these looks, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mm.
Oh, man. That was a time. But Yeah, it was. It's very weird to think about it. Like, oh hey, you had a ska band and you really went fast and furious.
And our most famous song was Transsexual Nazi Eskimo. That's the one that got on the radio.
Yep.
And that's the one that where you could see other bands and audience members singing the song during the chorus and everything.
Yep.
Funny.
It's a catchy song.
You know? Funny. I think a lot of my songs are catchy. You know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of my songs are catchy. I do. I think that was very...
Other than the lyrics,
I think...
The
music was very catchy, I think.
Yes.
You know, we had some good grooves.
Yeah, most people probably don't know the lyrics. They're probably just singing the chorus and not actually knowing what gross shit you said.
Yeah, definitely.
And
that was part of the fun, too, is that we always had girl singers other than
So it's not as offensive.
So these, like, little girls, you know, little in stature girls are singing these, like, gross...
Yeah. It was always girls.
Filthy
yeah.
songs.
Yep.
You know, that half the audience probably had no idea what we were really singing about.
Absolutely not.
You know, until the chorus. Oh, this song's Let's Break Wind, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Poke me in the eye. You know?
Man.
Crazy. Mindy.
Well, that's great. So, Swanky Modes.
The Swanky Modes.
You guys, if you know the modes, well, if you know the modes, please comment, because
if you were there, if you had seen us,
that would be insanity.
Back in the day, let us know. Yeah. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to get some people on from the band just to talk about that era, that time in general. What their thoughts are of ska in general.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, because we never have let ska die, and there's people even in the band who didn't even like ska, like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they probably forgot about ska. They probably just were like, that was a thing I did when I was a young 18, 19, 20-year-old person, and never again.
Well, younger, I was older than everybody.
Well, yeah, you were. That's
you
true.
Know, so they were, but still, they're young teens.
Young
they're
teens.
Teens, and
they're teenagers.
They're in this fucking band that's playing out all over the place.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if you think about that as a so you're 18, I'm 14,
yeah,
and let's go. You know, maybe I'm 15, 16.
Yeah,
let's play with the Planet Smashers. Yeah. Like that's fucking insanity.
Yeah,
I'm just a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, River could be that kid now. That's it. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
If you're like, River's going to go play with, I don't know what bands are around right now, but you know.
Well, River's my age now that I started Low Budget Pictures.
Yeah. And he's shredding.
And he's, he's doing his thing.
So.
He's gleaming that cube.
Right.
Crazy.
Yep.
Swanky Modes, guys. I don't know. I don't know what you got out of this episode. I feel like it was all over the place. I'm hoping with like videos and pictures and things you got a little entertainment.
Well,
out of
I think
it.
Like if you are a person who A likes ska, okay, you got a little something. But also like a lot of people who like ska were in ska bands.
Yeah.
A lot of them. So I think like, you know, there's some connection there.
I think it was cool that, you know, we had a ska band before ska was like a big thing.
Well, that's also true. Know? You didn't make so one just, at 96.
It just got better for us personally.
Yeah.
As the years went on, because it was like right smack dab in, we're adding you to this ska fest. Oh, you know, like
where that never existed before.
Yeah. And there was always an audience, you know, which was great. You know, not always. I mean, we would play, there was a couple times where we played that was just like, why are we doing this?
Yes.
You know? Is it just to play? Remember we played fucking, what's that place called? Coconuts? What's that place called?
Where?
It was like a Suncoast.
Oh. But in Buffalo?
In Olean. We played in the store.
There was only media play, which it wouldn't have been. The one by the theater?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Wasn't that Coconuts or something like that, or
I don't think it was Coconuts.
We played in the store.
Well, that's bonkers too.
You were there.
No, I know. But I mean, it's been 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's just wild. Yeah. So if you have some connection to making a band or you've seen the modes, comment. I hope you guys are enjoying the series. We're going to keep doing it because we love Scott, so we'll just keep talking about it.
There's plenty more coming up, guys. Yep. Thank you so much
for
watching, for listening, whatever you're doing.
Yep.
If
you're listening, we're on iTunes now, Spotify as well, Amazon, Google.
Is it finally added to DFAT Entertainment?
I had to do that. DFAT
Entertainment.com is where you can find all the podcasts.
Yep.
Scatterday Nights, we are there now. Thank you, and look forward to some more skanking good times with the Scatterday Nights.
Pick it up.
Got some fun stuff coming. So thanks again, guys. Swanky Modes.